I read an article yesterday in the Saturday Evening Post entitled "Nostalgia is Good for You." During the pandemic, it spoke of drive-in theaters becoming increasingly popular if you could find one in the country. The article said nostalgia has become increasingly common in our current climate of accelerated, unexpected change. There are days like Throwback Thursday and Flashback Friday. Boomers and Generation X's alike seem particularly fascinated by the 80s. The article concluded, "Happy memories let you take a break from negativity." Now, my brothers and sometimes now my nephews will send me YouTube car commercials from the 70s and 80s. And many of those commercials recall my earlier days as a kid. The MC commercial, "What's a Matador?" seems to be so much more real than those smug, obnoxious ads about Subaru is love. No, God is love. There's a commercial, though, that came up along the side on the YouTube, and I think there are enough older people here who might remember it. It was E.F. Hutton. There's always a crowd, and two people are talking. They're either at a restaurant or a tennis match. Even a young girl in the classroom reciting the ABCs. And one will say, "My broker is E.F. Hutton." And E.F. Hutton says, and at that point there's a hush over the crowd. Again, whether it's in the classroom, the restaurant, a tennis match, and everybody turns and listens. And it concludes with the phrase, "When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen." Now, that was a catchy slogan that I remember many years later. But it does seem to raise a question appropriate for our readings today. What about God? Are we listening? As you know, I was gone the last two Sundays, and I returned last Sunday from an eight-day retreat with the bishops of the Northwest. We were together at Mount Angel Monastery in Oregon. The theme was walking in companionship with Jesus. I'd have to say it was the best retreat in the 10 years I have been a bishop. A key theme was really listening to what God has to say. He does speak to us if we listen. And when we ask for something of God, the retreat director was very clear. Be concrete with God. What is it specifically you're asking for? Our own seminarians at Bishop White conclude this morning, a four-day retreat led by Father John Murphy, which seems so providential in light of our readings today, especially our first reading, where we hear of Samuel and Eli who are in the temple sleeping. In his sleep, Samuel hears the Lord, but he doesn't know it's God. "Here I am," he replies, mistakenly thinking that it is Eli. And when he goes to him, Eli tells him to go back to sleep. It happened again. But after it happened the third time, Eli realizes what is going on and explains to Samuel what he should say if he hears those words again. Samuel does return to sleep, and once again the call, "Samuel, Samuel." At that point he says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel would be a future leader of the faith community. God wanted Samuel because his people needed Samuel, and God wanted him to listen. For we're told that no one else was. The words from the first reading, "For the word of the Lord was rare in those days." Samuel showed a willingness to listen. And a closer study of Scripture shows that listening and obedience are closely related in the Gospels and in the Old Testament. Listening to God demonstrates a willingness to be led. It always requires humility, a trust, and obedience is a response to God in faith and in trust. In other words, we're called to follow Him. Notice God's great desire, His persistence, and His patience. Four times He gives the call to Samuel, and it is not until the final time that Samuel, with the help of Eli, realize what goes going on. God does not give up nor grow impatient, but steadily, gently speaks His invitation, his call. Again, in the first reading, those words, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Is God's word rare today? Or is it that perhaps we're not listening? Or maybe we're doing all the talking. It's more like when we pray, we say, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking." Now, Samuel could hear, but he wasn't listening. And he needed the help of his mentor, Eli, to discern the voice of God. Gathered here this morning at Mass and those watching at home, all of us, I believe, would like to know when God is speaking and being able to distinguish that his voice from all others. But what is the greatest obstacle? You and I both know it is too much noise. How then do we hear God? It requires silence. We must be quiet at some point during this day. And as you've heard me say before, God knows the responsibilities you have in your home life, raising your families. The few minutes you're able to give to God in silence are the equivalent of the hour that God expects of priests, who, without the responsibility of family, have the luxury of more time. But all of us, no matter our vocation in life, must be willing to say those words of Samuel. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Notice that we're told that Samuel slept in the temple. Now, there's no need for anybody to sleep in the church, but we need to be close to this place of prayer and worship. And we must be willing to stay close to the church. Difficult during the time of pandemic, but not impossible. The voice of God is the one clear, still, loving voice that always speaks to us with compassion and truth. The secular world begins a new year with resolutions. But the church at this time invites us to quietly seek the voice of God and to hear his Son. Whether it is those words of Jesus, "Come and see," or "Follow me," each of us have that opportunity to hear God speak. St. Catherine Laboure was a young Daughter of Charity novice in the 1830s in Paris at the Mother House of the Daughters of Charity on the Rue de Bach, a place of great prayer where today we could visit and see the chair where Mary sat and spoke to Catherine. Later on, Catherine, responsible for promulgating the message of Mary to have the miraculous medal struck and distributed, is what we have today. But Catherine Laboure would write these words that I think speak to us today on how we might listen to God. She said these words, "Lord, I am here. Tell me what you would have me to do. If he gives me some task, I thank him. If he gives me nothing, I still thank him. I tell God everything that is in my heart. I tell him about my pains and my joys. And then I listen. If you listen, God will speak to you. For with the good Lord, you have to both speak and listen. God always speaks to you when you approach him plainly and simply. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."